You can sit down. How's the temperature in here, guys? Better? Better? Okay. This is one of those, you know, they don't exactly insulate buildings built back in the 1800s. And this is an interesting room to heat and cool. So hopefully it will be it'll be pleasant the rest of the time. Hey, I know some of you are real web browsers, spend a lot of time surfing the internet. And I ran across this website earlier this year. It's actually quite cool. It's called infiltration.org. Any guys heard of this thing? No? Okay. It sounds subversive. It's not. But basically what it is, it's about what they call urban exploration. In other words, it's a group of people that get together and share ideas with how you go to places in the public that you normally would not have access to. You see what I'm saying? In other words, how do you sneak around the Empire State Building and get to places you normally wouldn't get to go? Or abandoned military bases, or drainage systems, or subways, and you know, stuff like this. It's actually quite interesting. Now, I'm not encouraging any of you to do these things, of course, but it is fascinating. And one of the reasons it kind of appeals to me, And if you're like me, then you'd be the same way. I really like to know what's going on behind the scenes. Are any of you guys like that? I remember the first time I went to Disneyland. You know, it's cool. I mean, right? It's a blast. I mean, I love going to that place. But to me, I wanted to know what was on the other side of that facade. I wanted to know how they made that work. You see, I wanted to know what was going on behind the scenes. Well, one of the cool things, and what I want to share with you tonight is taking you behind the scenes. I want to take you behind the scenes because it is very common for us, this time of the year, of course, to go to Bethlehem, right? And that's completely normal and appropriate. We go to Bethlehem and we see how the Christ child was born. We read about it just a few moments ago. And that is fascinating and amazing and awesome. However, tonight, I kind of want to take you behind the scenes. Have any of you ever kind of wished you could go behind the scenes and see what was going on in heaven, like moments before the first Christmas? What was happening up there? What was going on in the heavenlies? Well, if you've ever wished for that, well, you don't have to wish anymore. Believe it or not, that's actually in Scripture. And that's kind of what I want to talk with you tonight about. This is a section of Scripture that probably isn't really discussed that often, well, especially at Christmas time, but even apart from Christmas time. But it's a passage of Scripture that actually takes us behind the scenes to heaven just before Jesus came to this earth. Sound interesting to anybody? Okay, cool. I'm glad I'm not the only one that finds such things interesting. But this is really quite a startling scene. If you want to follow along with me, if you happen to bring a Bible, you're welcome to do so. It's in the book of Hebrews. Like I said, normally you turn into Matthew, right? Or Luke and things like that. But this is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, starting at verse 5. And tonight, just because of its easier to read style, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Which is my favorite for devotions and stuff like that. It's a great version. But listen to what it says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. That is why, when Christ came into the world, He said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but You have given Me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin." Then Jesus said, "Behold, I have come to do Your will, O God, as it is written in the Scriptures." Now, if you have ever studied any of the Old Testament, or just even casually read any of it, then you are probably aware that God had instituted a system of sacrifices for His people, the Jews. And the people would gather together. This was one of the biggest holidays, if you will. It was a holy day. It's kind of where we get the word anyway. It was called the Day of Atonement. Kind of like Christmas for them, if you want to think about it. And they would all gather together and they would offer animal sacrifices for their own sin, the sins they had committed, and for the sins of their entire nation. That's what would take place. Now, That system probably seems a little odd to us. Kind of ancient, archaic, old, you know, maybe out of date, strange. We don't obviously do these sorts of things. We might barbecue, but we don't generally, you know, tend to offer up animal sacrifices for sin. But this system of sacrifices that God set up was actually very effective at doing two things. Two things that God wanted to take place in the hearts of His people. First of all, it created an awareness of sin before a holy God. Guys, that's important. If you're like me, which hopefully you're not, but if you are, you are probably aware that you're not a perfect person. There's sin in your life. There's things you've done that you know. Even if you didn't break a law, there's something inside of you that says, that was not right. I should not have done that. It was wrong. That's sin. And what these sacrifices did for the Jews is it made them aware that I had to get this right with God. God was holy and I'm not. And so I needed this system of sacrifices for that kind of a reminder. However, the system of sacrifices was also quite effective in reminding the Jews that there had to be the sacrifice of the innocent on behalf of the guilty. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody who was innocent, who had not sinned, had to die for those who had sinned. That's why they would have to find a perfect animal. Obviously, perfect in the way it looked on the outside, without blemish. And that perfect animal was kind of the placeholder for that perfect sacrifice, sinless, to take the place of those people who were offering it. And so every year they would be reminded, not only were they sinners and before a holy God, but that somehow it had to be taken care of. And you know, really, that's not that odd of a thing. I mean, if you think about it, a holy God would be unjust if He just said or pretended that sin didn't exist, wouldn't He? I mean, how would we like it if our judges, I wish this never happened, but let's just pretend here for a moment, that our judges would bring in criminals that had committed crimes and basically with a wave of the hand said, I'm going to show you mercy and act as though nothing ever happened. You're free to go. How would that go over in our society? Not real well. Well, in the same way, it would be unjust for God also to say, I'll just pretend it never happened. There had to be a sacrifice, you see. That's what these people were reminded of. However, there's a problem. Because the Old Testament system of sacrifices was not enough. Great reminders. But it didn't actually make them clean. You see, it didn't actually take away their sins. To get an idea why it wasn't good enough, if you happen to have your Bible and are looking there, if you just look a little bit north of verse 5, look at verse 1 of chapter 10, and you'll see why. It says this, the old system under the law of Moses, and that's those sacrifices we're talking about, was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again and again, year after year. But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all time. And their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. See, guys, that's basically spelling out for us there why it wasn't enough. Now, I don't know if you've ever imagined that Old Testament system. Maybe if you were in Sunday school, you might remember the teachers talking about that, or maybe you heard it in a sermon and you kind of thought what that might have been like. Quite honestly, guys, it was bloody. It was messy. Okay, it was necessary year after year. It required perfect animals. And it was a perpetual reminder of your failure. That's what it was. Every single year. It was the greatest day of the year for Israel. But by a very interesting dichotomy, it was also the day in which you were reminded of your sin, when that became very clear to you. However, as those verses that we just read there mentioned, that's the old way. That's the old way, under the old system. And if you were curious as to when I was ever going to get around to anything having to do with Christmas, that is exactly what Jesus, that baby in the manger, came to remove. He came to get rid of that old system, or to fulfill and make it complete. At the time that Jesus spoke those words that we read in verses 5 through 7 a few minutes ago, when He spoke those words, do you know who He was? He wasn't a baby in a manger. He was the transcendent, eternal Son of God. That's who He was. Guys, if we had been there to see that conversation, we wouldn't even have been able to look at it. We'd have had to cover our eyes like the angels do in the glory of God, or more likely, we would have fallen right to our faces. We might have even died because of our sin in the presence of a holy God. It wouldn't have been something we just casually looked at. This is who we are talking about. And then, that very Son of God, the Son of God Himself, turns to God the Father, and He says to Him, in effect, all of history has pointed to the need of a supreme sacrifice. I'm ready to go. I'll obey You. I'll offer this body, this sacrifice that You have asked Me to offer. I will do it. And guys, 1 millisecond later, the Son of God, that same holy God, was reduced to a microscopic cell in the womb of Mary. That's behind the scenes. That's what took place here. Think about it. God Almighty entombed in darkness for 9 months. That's what took place. And He was born as a baby in a dirty cave with animals and, you know, all that kind. We were very aware of that part of the story. Why? Why did this astronomically amazing event take place? Was it so we could give each other presents? My kids are getting very nervous right now back there. No. Is it so we could have Christmas parties? Sing Christmas carols? Was it so we could eat wonderful dinners? No, of course not. It wasn't for any of those things. It was so He could get rid of the Old Testament system of sacrifices and be your perfect sacrifice instead. That's why He came. That's why God Almighty did this. He who was irreducible in His glory, in His grandeur, in His power and holiness, was reduced to a baby. I don't know if that blows you away, but that blows me away. This is the love that God has for us, that He would go to these lengths. And every year, we come and we worship Him as that baby. Hopefully not just once a year. Hopefully every day of our lives. But this time of the year particularly, we come and we worship that baby. Guys, if we don't get that, we don't get Christmas. We don't get it. This is who Jesus was. Jesus was God. And this is why He came. So in a sense, when we read these words here in Hebrews 10, we have infiltrated heaven. We're getting to see behind the scenes. But what's even better than that? When Jesus spoke those last words to God the Father, you know what He did after that? He infiltrated this earth. He came here. You see, guys, one of the greatest temptations for us at Christmas time is to reduce who Jesus is. It really is. This temptation, guys, this is Christians and non-Christians alike deal with this. This time of the year, we reduce who Jesus is. It's easy to think of Jesus as just any baby, right? Just a cute, cuddly, pudgy-cheeked baby in a manger, right? Like we have in our nativity scenes or on, you know, movies or something like that. That's all that it is. Just a baby in a manger. Or just a nice little story that we like to dust off, right, around Christmas time. Jesus was God. Jesus was God. One minute the angels are looking upon His glory. The next minute He came to earth. You know, we have, as a fellowship, we spent a lot of the last few months looking at the book of Revelation. Not another real popular Christmas book of the Bible, but as we've gone through that book, we have got to see many times of how the heavenly hosts, the angels and those, how they think of Jesus. And I just wanted to share a little bit of you, a little snapshot. Again, this is kind of a behind the scenes of what's going on in heaven. John's writing and he says this, "Then I looked again and I heard the singing of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus singing, 'The Lamb is worthy, the Lamb who was slain. He is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang also, saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Now I read that to you guys because that is the one who is receiving that kind of worship and praise is the same Jesus we see as a baby in the manger. It's the same one. Do you ever marvel at the fact that the one who is worshipped by millions and millions of angels came down and lived among us? Walked among us? The one who lay in a manger was the one who created everything around us. Never reduce who Jesus is. He's not just a baby, not just a story. He was the Almighty God. That is who we worship. You know, He's not like something that we just pull out once in a while. And you know, let me just be real blunt here, guys, because we're human beings, and so I think this is worth mentioning, and that the fact that, you know, some of us are going to walk out of here tonight, and we're going to forget about Jesus. We are. You know, basically, it's almost like He's something akin to Christmas ornaments, you know? We get them out once a year, dust them off, put them on the tree, they're nice and shiny, we love it, and then we kind of set it aside. Well, I got other things to do in my life. I'm too busy to think about Him. And that's a real danger. Guys, you can't reduce Jesus to that level. If He is the Almighty God, then that cannot be done. He is more than a baby. He's more than a Christmas story. He's God. I wish that was the only temptation at Christmas time. Because there is another one. And that is to forget why He came at all. To forget why He came to this earth. You know, some people think that He came to be a good man. You know, to be a good example for us all. Some think that He came to teach us things that we didn't know before. Some would say that He came to do good things, to perform miracles and to help people out. Did Jesus do all of those things? Yeah, He absolutely did all of those things. But guys, that's not why He came. That's not why He came. He came to do God's will. And God's will was that He come and be the sacrifice for your sins. That was His purpose. That is why He came. So let me encourage you guys. You know, tomorrow morning, if you're going to be like me and my family, sitting around Christmas tree opening presents, right? At least a lot of us will. Maybe you'll be traveling or something. But when you're spending time tomorrow morning with the family and opening up those presents, let me encourage you, take a moment. Dads, maybe kind of lead this with your family. Remember why Jesus came. The gifts that you're giving is symbolic anyway. It's symbolic of the gift we were given, you see. That's why we do it. That's easy to forget, of course. But that's why. It's good to be reminded of those things. He was and is the ultimate gift. He came to take away the guilt for all the sins that you've committed. Does that appeal to anybody? Do you like the sound of no guilt? right? We all do. No guilt, no shame. Man, that sounds great. That's why He came, to be that sacrifice. See, these sins we were born into, they're not just things we do. We're actually born into sin. Sin's kind of the disease. The things we do that are wrong, it's kind of the symptoms, right, of the disease. And Jesus came to take care of all of those things. Because if those things are not dealt with, what will a just God do? He must deal with that, shouldn't He? Just as our judges must deal with the criminals that come before them justly. He must deal with those things. The way that would be dealt with is that you would be separated from that holy God. Separated from the one that we hear the angels worshiping when we read here. Separated for all eternity from the presence of God. You see, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to heal you of that condition. That's why He came, to take care of that issue. He came to be your sacrifice. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I heard somebody refer to Christmas a certain way. And you know, every once in a while we'll have those things that just stick in our heads for the rest of our lives and we have no idea why, but we just remember them, right? But they and this has been with me ever since, and they referred to Christmas as the day that God got personally involved. And that's what it is. He laid aside His glory. He laid aside the grandeur. And He came as a baby. Not just for a cute story, but so that He could live as a sinless man and then die on a cross as that perfect sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. Guys, that's Christmas. That's what we're talking about here tonight. That's the day that God infiltrated the earth. It's the day that light came to this dark place. And now we know why He came. Would you bow your heads with me, please? You know, there might be some of you here tonight, perhaps who have never realized why Jesus came. You've probably heard of it, no doubt. But maybe you've never really fully understood why He came. Maybe you thought He just came to be a good man. Maybe you thought He was just a healer or an example for us. Well, tonight, hopefully you've discovered there's a lot more to it than just that. Jesus came to be your sacrifice. See, under that old system, you'd have to offer a perfect animal to take away your guilt. And you'd still feel terrible. You'd still be in your sin. But under the new system, through the blood of Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for you, Jesus can take away all of your sins forever. Forever. All you have to do is come to Him, confess Him as your Savior and as your Lord, and follow Him. That's what He asks. You know what the great thing is? You can do it tonight. There's no other time that has to take place. It can take place right here. I don't know all of you tonight. A lot of faces I haven't seen. Hopefully I get to meet some of you afterwards. But perhaps maybe there's some here tonight who would like to take that step, who'd like to make that decision tonight. And if you're willing to take that opportunity, I want you to pray these words in your heart to Jesus, not to me, but pray along with me. Jesus, I accept You as the greatest Christmas gift ever. And from this point on, I pledge to follow You as the Lord of my life. I lay aside my rights. I lay aside my will to Yours. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sinfulness. And I accept Your perfect sacrifice, Your death on the cross in my place. And I pledge to follow You from this point on. Amen. Guys, it's that message that we have been called to share as well. For those of you that are believers, this is the message we have been called to bring to this world. And to symbolize that, we do this each year, and it's the symbolism. It's not just the cute lights in the dark room, okay? To symbolize the light of Christ coming into our dark world, which began as a baby in a manger, and the spreading of that light from one person to the next person, to the next person throughout history, we are going to symbolically spread the light of Christ through this room tonight as well. These candles, although they're real pretty and everything, do serve a purpose. We are all lesser candles, if you will, to Christ. He is the source, the one from whom all life and light comes. And so tonight I'm going to light my candle from Him, symbolizing the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And as the gentlemen come forward, I'm going to light their candles, basically symbolizing me speaking that message of Christmas, if you will, to those that I know, sharing the gospel with them. In turn, they're going to share that with you. Each person on the end of the aisle, they're going to light your candle. And then if you would, in turn, light the candle of the person next to you, and all the way on down to the end. And in so doing, we are symbolizing the light of Jesus Christ spreading through this world.